guys, welcome to Vaudeville. Today is an exciting day. Today I'm here with a very special guest. I am here with
Camila Pombo.
Yay. And what are we talking about, Camila?
We're talking about feminism. Yes. In a very broad way.
Yes, we are definitely talking about the topic feminism. Yes, our viewers should sit back, relax, and enjoy. So, Camila, what does feminism mean to you?
Right, so feminism, I think it's a very broad concept, and there's no one specific definition to it. Mm-hmm. But at least for my own life and how I interpret it, it's about empowering women and creating diversity and integration rather than segregation. And it's not only for women, but it's for everyone, and it's for the good of society. Definitely. I think it's very important.
Yes. I like how you say, you know, integration instead of segregation, because a lot of, like, I guess, people's negative mentality on feminism is that it's anti-men, that was separating men away from it, which in actuality is not what it is. We're actually bringing everything together. But, like, I don't know, people have this, like, oh, once you say, oh, empowering women, it means it needs to be bring down the men. That's not actually what it means, but... like, what are your thoughts on it? Because when you say feminism now, there are a lot of people who have negative connotation on the word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I guess it is important to say that there are different groups that consider themselves to be feminist that will explicitly say that they're perhaps, like, anti-men in power, for example, or, you know, like, very explicitly say that they hate every single man. Mm-hmm. But there, I think at least the type of feminism that I enforce in my day-to-day life is more about, yeah, about bringing women up rather than, like, bringing men down.
Yes.
Right. So, like, meeting them at the top and finding, well, I guess mitigating the gaps that have been created and expanded throughout history between the sexes. And it's not only about, like, bringing women to power, but it's also just, like, about survival as well. I think a lot of women, like, suffer a lot of in very unjust stuff in society, like violence and well, horrible stuff that I think is also part of the feminist struggle.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, is there something, like, you say in your... Because some people can point out, like, exactly the point when they realize that they were feminist, or something that really motivated them to, like, want to be, like, smash patriarchy kind of situation. But, like, what was your moment?
That's a good question. I don't think I can definitely, like, point down a specific moment. I think it has been... a series of moments throughout my life, and I think most of them have had to do with, like, my personal life that have made me realize certain things about my relationships with men and women and how I communicate and how we, you know, like, the differences that I've noticed over the years, at least over the last five years, as to how they treat a woman versus how they treat a man. And all the things, you know, that come with the difference in gender. And it's, yeah, it's been interesting. I think it's very hard to, like, unlearn stuff that you learn when you're little, you know. I think that's also part of, like, the feminist struggle. At least the modern feminist struggle is to kind of accept that there's some things that are wrong, even within our own brains, yeah. That we have to change ourselves. So... yeah,
that's quite interesting, because I mean, I like I said, cannot really point out a moment in my life where I'm like, oh yeah, this is the most enlightening part, this one I realized feminism was a pathway. But, like, I grew up in a very, very patriarchal society, more patriarchal than the one I live in, and I was just wondering, because you came from, you know, Mexico.
Yes.
What is the gender dynamic in, like, your country?
So yeah, definitely it's also very patriarchal. There's, you know, I mean, I think a lot of women, I would even dare to say, like, any woman in Mexico, at least in Mexico City, will have at least one story of either, like, harassment or, like, Like maybe very slightly, you know, like walking down the street and like a man like telling you something very inappropriate or like, and I had those when I was like a girl, like, you know, 15, 16 year old girl. And so I think I didn't realize it in the moment then, but I think after I exited that society, I kind of realized the injustice of it all. And I think it's also once you become older, like once you reach university, I think for me was the moment that a lot changed, because I became aware of a lot of things. Or I think you are aware, but when you learn it in a classroom or when you have discussions like this in a classroom, it's like everything come like that, it comes to words and it's like, oh shit, right? Yeah. So yeah,
definitely. Because what you talk about, like, you know, the scenario where you like your country, almost if not all women have been harassed. I have literally like my country being catcalled as from the very young age of 8. Like, what do you see in an 8-year-old that is worthy of catcalling?
Exactly. It's
like a norm. Like, okay, you know, I remember one time that I needed to run an errand at a very young age, and I was so deathly scared to go through it. The regular part. So I used to go through like long parts because guys always like hang out there and be like, you know, chilling, and then when you're passing by, they'll be like whispering and they'll be calling out like different things towards you. Like,
yeah,
generally, like, I don't know, like, people here, I guess, is, did you realize a total difference between, you know, feminism here and feminism back in Mexico?
Yeah, actually, so I had this conversation with a friend the other day, where we're discussing like the differences in both movements. And I think there's actually a very, very massive difference, at least on the mainstream movements in both countries. I think the feminist movement right now in Mexico is actually very strong. And I think it's because violence against, like, the number of violent cases against women have massively increased over the past few years. And so in Mexico, I think it's like a very much case of like life or death, basically. Mm-hmm. And so the movement is a lot more radical, and it's a lot more, at least for the naked eye, it seems like it's very anti-men. But it's not necessarily, but it is definitely like that rhetoric is definitely stronger there. And I think it's because people are angrier there, you know. I mean living in a place like that, even though I love my country, there's definitely, I mean, just like you, your story about running an errand. I mean, I have like 10 of those, you know, like men literally chasing me on the street, and or not chasing me, but I'm like running because I was just afraid, or like taking the extra long route just to avoid like a group of men, you know, stuff like that, that maybe like people in certain countries never even think about, or men never have to think about, right? So, and here I think the feminist movement is also very, very strong, but it's a little bit more mellow than Mexico, at least I think. And I think but it's also, it makes sense because of the cultural differences that are in both countries.
Yeah, definitely. I have to agree with you in that. I mean, my country doesn't really have a feminist movement. You try and talk about, I was recently talking about, like, with someone about feminism here, with someone who was from my country, this man. And he was like, oh, you left your country and you came here and you started acting all this feminist thing. Obviously, in your country, you cannot do that thing. Because of how patriarchal my country is. And it kind of pissed me off. Because I'm just like, a lot of times, a lot of women want to speak up and all those kind of things. But there are, like, so many rules that I, like, for example, you are married, your husband is speaking, and you want to speak. In some households, a woman cannot open her mouth to speak because her husband is speaking. Which is just, like, to me, very disgusting. And then, you know, people here are like, why are there feminist movements in America when it's not like, you know, they look at the extreme and say, oh, yeah, well, it's not like a Muslim country. But I feel like every country needs feminism, like, regardless. Because here in America, there's still a need. Like, look at what happened with the Me Too movement.
Yeah.
The amount of, like, women, like, obviously everyone's like, oh yeah, women have rights here in this country, but the amount of women that came out to say, like, a very powerful person, raped them or sexually assaulted them, there were many. And you makes you look back and think, like, really, there's no safe haven for women in any country, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly why, for example, you know, perhaps, like, women in very advanced, like, socially advanced countries don't have the same experiences as, like places like where I come from or where you come from. But still, they know what it's like to feel that fear of, you know. And I think men sometimes lack that empathy of, and I even, you know, I don't know if this has happened to you, but I consider my family, like, very progressive and open-minded. And I still, even, like, today, I get into these, like, terrible, or not terrible, but we get into, like, these very, very strong opinionated discussions with my parents.
Yeah.
And even my father, who I consider to be, like, a very close person in my life, he still has some ideas that I just, like, I can't believe are what he thinks, you know? I mean, I think that's moments like that that I realize how much we have to go still.
Yeah. I think, like, for example, my dad doesn't live here. He lives back there in Nigeria and stuff. And, like, when he comes here sometimes, he realizes that I'm not the same I was when I was, like, younger. Obviously, I've grown. But also the fact that I'm openly feminist. I straight up tell him, like, oh, yeah, you are not supposed to say this about a woman, or you're not supposed to, like, make this, not even, like, make this comment, but kind of, like, say, oh, this is how women are supposed to be. No. Like, a woman is not supposed to constantly cook for you. It's not her obligation to be that type of person, you know? And it's kind of shocking to him sometimes, like, oh, my God. Like, one time I literally told him straight up that I'm a feminist, and he was like, no, be a humanist. I was like, what the heck?
One doesn't cancel the other, right? I mean, you can both.
I was like, I care about all humans, you know. The point is that we should actually have this discussion right now. Like, people don't see how feminism helped men. Can you, like, point out how feminism helped men? Because I have, like, a list.
Absolutely. I think a big thing that I always support is that men have the right and are encouraged to feel their emotions. I feel like that is such a patriarchal thing for men to just, like, suck it up, be men, and, like, be strong and don't have feelings and don't have emotions. And that ultimately hurts everyone, you know, like, in relationships, in day-to-day life. Honestly, the source of war, in my opinion, is, like, men not dealing with their emotions. So, I mean, obviously war is, like, a lot more complicated than that, but you get the point. I think men would, like, that is just one of, like you said, many examples.
Yeah.
Another one would just be, like, I think also men have a lot of pressure to, like, be, you know, the provider of the family. When that's not the case anymore, you know, like, a woman can take care of the family and, like, the man can stay and help with the children. Also, like, enjoy your children, you know, like,
yeah.
I mean, you're a dad as well. Like, motherhood is not the most important part, like, you know, fatherhood is also very important. So I think all of these things that we're so stuck in the past that men should realize that it's not only about us, but it's about everybody.
Yeah, definitely. Like, talk about the emotion thing. Recently, like, today I was reading this fact that said, like, babies smile, like, 208 times per day or something, or 280 times per day. Women smile, like, 60 something times per day. And then men smile, like, 6 times a day. I'm like, 6. Like, what is it, like, like, I know I smile a lot, but, like, that does not sound right. That sounds like someone who should, like, constantly visit a therapist or something. Because if you're just smiling 6 times a day on average, that's not okay, you know?
Yeah.
There's so much, like, bottling up of anger. That's why they said, you know, the gender most likely to commit suicide are men. Because here's the thing. If you're just bottling up inside and cannot, like, expel it because you're just like, I'm a man, I have to keep everything inside, it's going to destroy you internally, like, inside out, you know, most likely. They did say, like, a lot of people who have more mental illnesses are women, but then it seems like men just go from having issues to trying to find a way out of it without actually, like, you know, going to seek help. It's, you know, there's always this stigma to go seek help. Oh, like a guy, like we women were just like, oh yeah, we visit our therapist. It's a norm to say that you visit your therapist. Well, a guy say, oh, I visit my therapist. His friend like, haha, what the, oh, what are you a therapist for? Like, or something like, oh, a young age telling boys to, like, if you feel angry, fight it out. Like, no, they don't need to, you know, duke it out and let out that emotion. They can just cry, you know, cry.
Exactly. I think the way that we, like, the name we put to certain actions matter. And so, like you said, like, men are taught to believe, like, you know, when they're kids, they, when they're boys, they say, like, fight it out, or, like, you know, get past it. And, like, girls are taught to be, like, sensitive and, like, very, like, emotional, and or not emotional. I think we're all emotional by nature, but I think, I think we're just, like, socially constructed to do all of those things. And so, I think, you know, a big part of feminism, I think, is very attached to, like, mental health as well. Mm-hmm. And at least I've noticed that the rhetoric is a lot about women taking care of themselves, like, us taking care of ourselves, you know, like, putting yourself first before, say, your partner's happiness. Like, put your happiness first above everything, anything else, you know. And I think that will also benefit men and women, you know. Just mental health is such an important topic, and that I cannot believe we're pretty much, like, the first generation to make it, like, a little bit more normal and mainstream to talk about, you know.
Yeah.
It's just shocking to me that, like, it's still, my mom thinks it's a little taboo to, like, talk about therapy.
I feel the same way. I feel like, actually, us coming from countries that are considered third world.
Quote unquote.
They're like, a lot of stigma in, actually, in my country. Like, if you say, oh, hey, I'm visiting a therapist, people will look at you like,
wow. What's wrong with you?
Like, what's wrong with you? Are you, like, and they insinuate madness with mental health, which is not safe. But anyone say, like, oh, you're depressed, oh, okay, my God, she's mad, she's psychotic or something like that, you know. It's that, have that discussion, like, right now United States or more or less first world countries are more likely to be like, oh yes, let's have that discussion. And even at that, they're not doing enough. No country's really putting up, like, that effort into it. More advanced countries, like, let's say Japan, have, like, a huge suicide rate.
Yeah,
because everyone is just, like, bottling everything up and just they need traditions also make add a factor into it, because there are some traditions where seeking help for mental health seems, it's like said, taboo. It's odd or, like, weird. It should be weird. It should be a norm. Like, it's okay to talk
about the
problems.
Yeah. Absolutely. Exactly. Definitely. Yeah. You know what I find very interesting? This idea that there's, like, feminine characteristics and, like, masculine characteristics. I think that, I guess you could say, just for the sake of, like, characterizing them, you could say that some of them are feminine characteristics and some of them are male characteristics, but that doesn't, or masculine characteristics. But what it's important to mention is that women can have masculine characteristics and men can have feminine characteristics. We can all have both, best of both worlds. You know, why not? I mean, this, like, in my opinion, very, very simplistic argument of, like, oh, it's natural for, like, women to be this way and for men to be this way. I think that just argument just bothers me so much, because it's like they're talking like if we didn't have, like, any sense of, like, of humanity in us, like, it's just like we're just animals walking through Earth, which we are, but we also have, you know, we have language, like, we know how to communicate and we know how to deal with our own emotions. Like, that's just an excuse, in my opinion, to just say, like, blame it on nature, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I always take this as an example, because sometimes I have reactions to stuff and people are like, why are you so aggressive? And I'm just like, hey, I'm not, you know. Just my reaction, because I'm a, you know. But a guy does it like, oh yeah,
normal, that's cool, guy.
We're also going to gender pay gap, because, you know, first of all, you're an economist, so you have very good knowledge in this. But the thing is that I was having a discussion with one of my professors, and he was like, this is one of the reasons why gender pay gap exists. One of the reasons, like, higher up companies want to, like, let's say they want to give you a bonus. Say, oh yeah, I'm offering you $20,000. You as a woman are more likely to be like, oh yeah, I mean, they're offering it to me. I mean, it's a good thing. I might not like the price, but I mean, they're offering it to me, and you have that consideration and be like, okay, yes, granted, take it. A guy is more likely $20,000 and like, ha! He might not even have the skills. You might have like way more skills than the guy. And he might not have as much skills, but then he'll be like, $20,000, heck no, I'm worth more. And be more assertive in that sense.
Yes.
And then they're like, okay, yes, we'll give you $40,000.
Yeah.
For that same job that the woman was like, oh, considering, overthinking. Because if by any means she questions it, it's seen as aggressive. Like, how dare she? Like,
yeah.
I'm giving
her
a job. And she's like,
Exactly. And like, it's also the thing is like how we are. That is exactly, I think, the main argument as for why the gender gap exists, other than, you know, obvious discrimination within the workforce. Apart from that, it's just like individual women not being able to, like, or they just like not socially constructed to ask for a raise, you know. And there's actually statistics that say that a qualified woman is less likely to ask for, like, a woman and a man in the same position, right? And, like, the woman being more qualified than the man is still less likely than this less qualified man to ask for a raise compared to this man. And so, like, the less qualified man has, like, more self-esteem that he will be able to, like, go to his boss and ask for a raise. And the woman who's more qualified won't be able to. And I think this is so important, because I was talking about this with a friend, like, how we're never taught to, like, be assertive and to, like, say what we want and say what we don't want. Like, say no when you want to say no, and say yes when you want to say yes, and say what you want. Like, even nowadays, I have discussions with my mom when she, like, says that I'm being, like, too selfish or stuff like that. But I'm not. I'm just saying what I want. Yes. You know, that's not, and there's nothing wrong with that. And so
that's not being like, I don't know, I guess we're raised to be like, oh yes, just accept things the way they are and not like want to change it. For example, like, even like when it comes to sexual harassment, a guy freaking gives you a compliment, you don't like it, you're walking away, the guy feels offended that, like, how dare you not like, there was this girl on TikTok that talked about it, like, they said, how dare you, the guy ran out the house, like, excuse me, I complimented you, can you be more, you know, nice, can you at least give me a smile? Because you want to freaking smile.
I hate it when men ask me to smile. I just, like, that is the most frustrating thing in the world. And, you know, I think this is a little related to also the perception of men and women. So, like, for example, a woman enjoying her sexuality, for example, is considered to be a slut, right?
Yeah.
And a man enjoying his sexuality is just a champ. And it's just, I mean, things like that I think we still make jokes about it. And, like, you see it in the movies still, and you hear it in the songs. And I think, you know, some people may say that's harmless, and I guess it could be to some extent, but I think it's also important to, like, change our jokes, change our way we communicate with one another, and, like, realize that what we say on a day-to-day basis actually adds up to, like, how we are as a community and a society.
Yeah, there was literally, like, we take the example when you talk about, like, women being more sexually open. Let's talk about like the WAP song. When WAP came out, there was a whole controversy, like, how dare these women talk about their own bodies? How dare they? Oh my god! But then there was rappers prior that have spoken about women's bodies, and it's like, they don't complain, but no, how dare these women talk about their own bodies? You know, it was so painful. Like, I was just like, what the, like,
it makes no sense. I know, yeah, it's, I mean, it baffles me that, like, no one will react in any way to, like, a man talking about a woman's body, because that's just considered to be normal, and then a woman just, like, owning her sexuality and her body and, like, being very open about it is just considered to be I mean, why is it polemic, you know? Like, why does it great. Like, why does it even bother you? It's her body.
It's not your body, yeah. You know, after all. It's like all this adds up. And also, like, I remember having, you know, the whole gender pay gap thing. I remember having a conversation with this girl about it. Mm-hmm. And she was so pissed with me that I brought up the gender pay gap, saying that the gender pay gap is a myth, blah, 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 blah. That I was like, huh? Like, you know, it's not even like, well, only, because it's not only like, oh, yeah, it's only men that see feminism as something. Mm-hmm. Also, other women are like, oh, yeah, absolutely. I like first wave feminism, I like second wave feminism, but any feminism that came out of that was, after that, was not useful. And I'm just like,
yeah. yeah there, I mean, definitely there's, yeah, it's important to mention that it's not only like men versus women, right? Mm-hmm. It's also like woman versus woman.
Yeah,
and I think it's a lot to, well, in my opinion, it has a lot to do with like generations as well, and like status quo. I mean, I see it with my own family, even though I love them to death, I think they are a little stuck in the past, in my opinion, and I think that's how it is with a lot of people. So but yeah, I mean, even, you know, there's a lot of like judgment between women, and rather than like support and love, you know. Yeah. I think that's one thing that is very nice about the feminist movement, or at least like what I've noticed like around my social group and like women who consider themselves to be like feminists. I think there's a lot of like empowerment between one another, and like saying like, yes, queen, you know, just like, you go. rather than putting the other one down, you like, mm-hmm. you celebrate and salute their accomplishments.
Yeah, and I also believe that the whole idea of like women bringing each other down is a whole like patriarchal society like form. Like, throughout time, women always like try to compete with each other for a man's attention. It's something that has been brought up from that past, like, oh yeah, we have to compete, you are a threat to me, like two men come into the room, oh my god, my hair is beautiful, oh, why did I dye my hair red, you know, it's that kind of
thing. Yeah,
like,
yeah,
doing that, but like, oh yeah, your hair is red, girl, I like it, like, you're a queen, you know, I love your hair, I want, like, where did you get that done, oh, I need to go to salon to get, man, we need to like hype and match together. That's the kind of vibe we should be giving each other, not like,
oh, yes. But, you know, I think, well, I 100% agree, but I will admit that, at least, for me, at least, it's been hard to, like, relearn that, because I think I've been taught to, like, compete against other women all the time.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I think this past few years have been a lot of, like, unlearning and relearning good stuff and good behavior and, it's hard, but it's also why it's important to have discussions like this, because I think perhaps people who are people listening who maybe like haven't like questioned their own behaviors can stop and think like, oh well, maybe in this moment I was kind of shitty and like I could have been better, or maybe in the future I'll do this instead of this, and you know, or just like, just maybe not even like how you act, but just like how you view yourself in society. Like, you're not competing against other women, you're working amongst them, and amongst men as well. We're not competing, none of us are competing, you know.
there's no competition, like, against anyone. The only person you should compete with is yourself. To get yourself better every single time, is you improving, not you be like, okay, you know, comparing yourself to someone. But yeah, it's like I said, a lot of times you actually have to sit down and have this like conversations, because most times we all have like different ideas in our heads and have different perception, but until we actually sit down and discuss them, we realize, okay, wait, maybe the way I'm thinking about this is wrong.
I
don't know.
It's important to question oneself as well. Yeah. You know, I don't think I know the answer to everything, and I don't think anyone should think like that, because we have so much to learn from one another, and everyone, I think that's what I love about a place like Houston, and specifically like U of H, you know, people come from all parts of the world and different cultures, different religions, different communities. And I think, like within those, for example, communities, there's different types of feminism, right? And like different types of women. And I think it's nice to like learn different ways, you know, like, for example, I don't like it when a woman who considers herself to be like a feminist says that like a woman has to work in order to be a feminist. You know, like, you can do whatever you want. Like, you can be a stay-at-home mom and still be rocking it, you know? I think that's has nothing to do with with that. And I think there's also a lot of pressure to like being this like strong, independent woman who doesn't need anybody in her life. And that's sometimes not the case. I mean, we all need people in our lives. Like, we're social beings. So, yeah.
You know, right now I just learned something, because you talked about like, okay, so like normally I'm just like, yeah, women can be whatever they want to be, stay at home or whatever. But normally when I hear a woman say, I want to be a stay at home mom, my instinct does go huge. Like, I know, like deep down inside me, I know it's fine for her to be one, but I kind of feel, you know, weird. I don't know. I shouldn't be. Like, I'm trying to just learn that part of me, like, yes, women can still be stay at home moms and whatever. But like, once I hear the words, I'm just like,
yeah, I get, I think, yeah, I can relate to that. I mean, I think it's maybe, you know, at least on my side, it's probably like, because I wouldn't want to be that. I wouldn't want to be in that position. And like, it's, you know, like me, like projecting my own feelings towards like this person. But I mean, I know people who genuinely love just like dedicating their life to their children. And I think that's also very lovely. Or it's the same, for example, it's the same, like, a woman who never wants to have children, absolutely fine. A woman who wants to have children, great, go have them, you know? I think it's just, like, about liberty and being able to do whatever the hell you want to do without other people judging you.
Definitely. I don't know how you view media perception, but in your own perspective, do you think, like, the media... I mean both political in the sense, or filmic or music, has it helped or hurt feminism from your perspective?
Well, I think, I guess, like, when you, for example, when you watch like old movies, I mean, some of them don't age very well, do they? But I think, I think there's just, you know, the media, like books, films, music, I think they are just like a representation of whatever the culture was in that moment. So I think they're just like they're just like projecting what the world was rather than just like affecting it. But I do think that, that the media can have a huge impact in society. And so I think, over the past few years, and I say year, like maybe 5 years, I think it has changed dramatically. Like the whole, I mean, movies and like this type of stories that they tell and songs. And I think for the better, I think we're being a little bit more careful with how we represent women and men as well. And how we represent like the relationships that we have with one another. And also, yeah, I mean, like not just, I mean, feminism is not only about you know, heterosexual woman. It's about everyone, right? Like LGBTQ plus whatever, everyone. And so I think representing also those stories is very important. And I think it has helped. I think it has helped overall. Yeah. It has at least given it a voice to the movement.
Yeah, I totally agree. Because like right now, there's a huge accountability in things that, well, more or less, people are totally against cancel culture. But then there's a section of counterculture that have found a way of making people accountable for, like, the films they made, like, the songs they sang. That is derogatory to women, and not even women, but, like, both. You know how the whole thing about, like, you know, lesbians and people more or less seen more or less lesbians as some kind of sexual fantasy rather than an actual, you know, relationship, more or less, because I don't really, if, like, two gay men are not seen in that same light. That also is under, I feel, under the umbrella of feminism too, because how you see, you know, this same sex couple and this other same sex couple in two different lights, you know. First of all, shouldn't even be like having fantasies about any other anybody or any group, you know, in the first place. But there's a whole thing coming, you know, going on with, you know, homosexual couples or non-binary people in general, you know. It's, but then it's right now the internet, most likely internet, it's usually calling out people on their shit.
Yeah,
people hate cancel culture. But you also have to appreciate cancel culture for like something, just a few things, just smidge. I mean, if not for the whole cancel culture thing, what happened to Me Too? Me Too wouldn't have been a thing in the first place. Calling out people for sexual assault and all these other things would not have been a thing. I think the media has really helped to bolster people's idea, but still, you know, a lot of our media formats are still very heterosexual, still very predominantly white. So a lot of people don't have a different perspective on things like that, or how feminism is. Because I feel like feminism is also intersectional, because, like you said, your feminism is so different from my feminism, which is different from Nera's one. But the whole feminism that is represented in America is like, you know, white women feminism, straight white women feminism. But what happens to the, you know, homosexual
black feminists,
homosexual feminists, all these other feminists, you know, Chicana feminists, like,
transgender feminists,
all these other people. But, you know, it's just one group of people that seem to have a louder voice, and there should be more representation in media of other groups. Like, yes, there are a lot of films that I've seen of, like, white women, like, white feminists. Like, there's this film I really want to watch called Promising Young Woman. Ah, I'll see it.
Me too. Yeah. I really want to watch that, actually.
But still, it's still that same perspective of the white woman having that voice of feminism. While they should also bring out, you know, minority voices, because it's not only...
Yeah.
A group that is really affected by the patriarchy. Everyone is affected by patriarchy.
Absolutely. I agree. And, you know, as for the cancel culture, I think, so my view on this topic is probably a little bit unorthodox, I guess. I definitely 100% think that we need to keep people accountable for their actions,
mm-hmm.
and there should be a discussion about things. And obviously, when it comes to like very serious topics about rape or sexual assault, there must be action to be taken. What I don't necessarily love is people like censoring, like literally canceling someone, just maybe because they made a terrible comment when they were 11 or 15, you know? I mean, I think it's just like, we all learn. And we have to also be, I think, a little bit more like tolerant and patient with people, because at the end of the day, I don't think anyone is like evil by nature. I think it's just a lack of education, a lack of resources, a lack of whatever, like a bunch of things, a bunch of factors that may alter someone's view on this topic. And so I think we need to educate everyone a lot more. And I agree as well with what you said about representation. I think it's important to bring voices that haven't been heard, which I think they're doing a relatively good job, slowly but surely. I think, you know, they're starting to, not only, like you said, not only like white feminists, but like black feminists and Mexican American feminists and indigenous feminists and like transgender feminists. I mean, you know, you name it. Asian. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Everyone. Yeah.
Definitely. I am so glad to have this discussion. I just realized that, you know, every time I have this podcast, it's always something I learn from somebody else. You know, like I have so much on learning to. Still so much work to be done on my own self, you know, but still I'm so glad that you came on this podcast. Did you enjoy yourself? Did you enjoy it?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for having me. It was really fun. I'm very passionate about this topic, so I'm always happy to talk about it with people.
Yeah, definitely. And we can have like other time to come together and like talk, or maybe something else, maybe talk about you know, something different, you know, maybe not feminism.
Films. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm always down to have people come and talk to me about films. I love talking about films, to be honest. So thank you so much, Camilla. Just to say, my listeners, don't forget to subscribe. And just, you know, enjoy and listen to this episode, because this episode, like every other episode, is very important. Thank you and goodbye.